The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from our remote Carter Subaru studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. We got a lot of stuff for you today. You just heard Heather telling some of the stories out of Life Care Center of Kirkland. There is one story of triumph. A 90-year-old woman who contracted COVID-19 and recovered through sheer will of spirit, the way it sounds. Her name is Geneva Wood. Vice President Mike Pence talked about her last weekend, and she is going to visit with me and you just after our 12:30 news, coming up about 25 minutes from now. So hear from this 90-year-old survivor of COVID-19 at Life Care Center of Kirkland. Brock Heward's going to drop by for a visit as well. Got some good news on Wall Street today. The Dow, about, 53 minutes from close. The Dow is up another 6%. Yesterday was the biggest gain ever. And today the Dow is up 1,200 points, close to 22,000. Everybody seems to be liking the new stated approach that we're going to reopen business sooner rather than later in America. So that plus the huge multi-trillion dollar bailout, which is still in the works. So the market is responding very positively today. I can't remember the last time we led a show with something that was not Corona, COVID-19 related. But today we will. And that is because we cannot and we will not let the beginning of this show go by without paying tribute to a fallen hero. Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
Well, we are in the midst of so much sadness, you know, with the COVID-19 and people out of work. And for all of our first responders, they really are dealing with, you know, this on multiple levels because they're coming in contact with more people and possible exposure than anyone. And then when I heard the news last night that one of our first responders, one of our heroes, a Washington State Patrol trooper, Justin Schaefer, he was trying to stop a fleeing alleged criminal, and he was hit and struck on I-5 and killed. And the chief of the Washington State Patrol is John Batiste, and he joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Chief, I know how hard this is, and I really appreciate you taking the time with me this afternoon.
I appreciate, Dory, you giving me an opportunity to speak to the people about a great young man. Obviously, it's a very difficult time for the agency, for Justin's family in particular, his lovely wife, his mother and father and his brother and extended family. You know, my heart sinks for them and for myself and the members of this agency. Justin was just a fantastic young man.
I know he'd been with you, the Washington State Patrol, for 7 years. Tell me about, I mean, his family. I know that his father is the chief of police in the city of Chehalis. So this is one of those families. And I know there are a lot of these types of families, Chief, where law enforcement is just in their blood. And that seems to have been the case with Trooper Schaefer.
That's correct. Yeah, his father, as you mentioned, has been in this business for a number of years, and his brother is training to be a firefighter, from what I understand. So the family is all about public safety. They dedicate their lives to serving others, and Justin was one of those young men who had such a bright future ahead of him. He'd done so much in 7 years. You know, he'd become a drug recognition expert. He was a canine handler. I mean, those are quite accomplishments for an individual who's only been around 7 years. So he was a doer. He wanted to do things that were about helping and protecting others.
Just 28 years old, and as you said, 7 years with the Washington State Patrol. So he knew early. He was just 21 years old when he joined you?
That's correct. That's correct. Shades of memory for me. Joining this business at 21 years old as well.
I read your statement last night, Chief, and it It was beautiful, and because I could hear the emotion coming through the written word, and often it's tough to convey that, but for you and for this circumstance, it was beautifully written, but obviously it was very much from your heart.
Yes, well, I mean, we're family. I mean, Justin was like one of my sons. All of these people to me are family, and we're in a mission together, and that is to humbly serve the people of this great state. And Justin was one of those individuals that if there was a need for someone to do anything, Justin would be one of those individuals to raise his hand and say, "Chief, send me." That's the kind of person he was.
I'm going to quote from your statement last night, Chief. You said, "In his last moments on the earth, he was wearing the uniform of the Washington State Patrol. We must pause and reflect on the character of each of the men and women we have lost over the years. Like Justin, they each served as one of the state's guardians. And each day of their work, they walked into unknown dangers with well-known courage." I found that to be so beautifully moving, Chief.
You know, I've been in this business a long time, and I've seen a lot of people in this business fall. You know, we've suffered 30 losses during the course of nearly 100 years of operation. And no matter how far you go back in my interactions with the family, families involved, it's fresh to them. That hurt never goes away. It dissipates over time, but it never fully goes away. And when something like this happened, it all resurfaces. And they experience it all over again.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think for many, most of us in the public, we share that hurt because we appreciate so much the job all these men and women do. Tell me about the circumstances of what happened on I-5 near Chehalis.
Well, we had a pursuit that started in Thurston County. Deputy recognized an individual who was wanted and attempted to effect a traffic stop on that individual, and unfortunately he chose to run. And as they traversed down I-5, the troopers were notified, and they do what troopers do. They respond to help. And Justin was positioning himself to throw out a spike strip in hopes that we can end this dangerous behavior of this individual. And unfortunately, he was struck and killed by this individual.
Do you know if there was intent in the fleeing suspect hitting your trooper?
That's all under investigation. That's in very capable hands with our detectives and folks from the Lewis County Sheriff's Department who are helping us take a very, very in-depth look at that. So witnesses will be interviewed. Videos will be looked at, the whole gambit.
But then back to the life of Justin Schaefer. I don't want to finish on some scumbag criminal who caused all of this. You mentioned his parents, his dad, a police chief as well, and siblings. There's a loss to his family, but I also know I have a lot of friends who are cops, and I know that for every member of the Washington State Patrol that, and you said this as much earlier, that everybody who's part of the Washington State Patrol feels like they have truly lost a member of their blood family with this.
Yes, yes. You know, one of the things I want to say thank you to are the people of this great state who really appreciate what the troopers and law enforcement in general do for them. You know, these folks are willing to put it all out there on a daily basis to protect others that they don't know in many instances. And people know and appreciate that. The people of Lewis County have shown tremendous support, love, and respect for this agency, for Justin and his family. And for that, I'm indebted to them. I can't thank them enough. Justin's family, his lovely wife and his parents, his brother, they need us all to envelop them with our love and give thanks for this man's ultimate sacrifice.
And then also, law enforcement is known for, and it's part of that, you know, bringing together all of the brothers and sisters who serve in all of the departments. There's always very large memorial services. It's a chance for the public to say thank you to the family and goodbye. You can't do that right now because we have a ban on the public gatherings. And, I mean, there's an odd circumstance in which to, you know, to have to deal with the grief because in a way that you usually do, that's just not available to you right now, correct?
Yeah, we're in very unique times as a nation, particularly as a state. So that is something that we need to have an in-depth conversation with Justin's family about in order to find a way that we can truly honor Justin in a way that Justin deserves to be honored. Whether we get to do that soon in some fashion or whether or not we delay that, either way, we'll ensure that Justin is properly respected and honored.
Well, I really appreciate you coming on with me this afternoon, Chief, and telling my listeners a little bit about Justin Schaefer. And it's just so important that we never forget the sacrifice of those in law enforcement. And I know this is a real painful day for you. So thank you so much for coming on with me.
Thank you, Dory.
All right. Washington State Patrol Chief John Batiste telling us about Justin Schaefer, who was killed on I-5 trying to stop a fleeing suspect. He was laying down a spike strip, and the suspect hit him and killed. 28 years old, married, trooper for 7 years, father in law enforcement, and God bless his family as well. All right, next up here in The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, top story.
And like I said, it's very unusual to not lead with COVID-19 today, but I think we've lost our way if we don't share stories like Trooper Justin Schaefer and make sure that we pay the same amount of respect that we would otherwise under, you know, more normal life circumstances than what we're all dealing with right now. And, you know, especially in this region where there is such an anti-cop mentality that has taken root with so much of the public and, you know, frankly, so much of the media that I wasn't going to let the day go by without the tribute to Trooper Schaefer. Okay, onward we go. And yeah, we do got some COVID-19 news. As I said, we could be headed for the second straight four-digit rise on Wall Street, as we're now 42 minutes from the close. The Dow is up 1,180 points, 21,884. So it is battling back. I'll tell you something that is bizarre, though. You know, we told you yesterday, the Democrats, they were just pushing to get so many of their Green New Deal things in. They wanted the airlines to pledge to being carbon neutral by 2025. They wanted the racial demographics of the corporate boards of any company that they were going to help. Which, again, the reason we're doing a bailout is so that the men and women of America who are out of work, who are hurting, who are finding out that they don't have a job, maybe they've already lost it, and they're scared. And they don't care about carbon footprints right now. And they don't care about, you know, if what somebody's skin color is on a corporate board. And then as we saw this deal take shape, Nancy Pelosi, another thing that she was pushing for, was $35 million for the Kennedy Center for the Arts. Now, you usually see the Kennedy Center when they induct honorees and everybody's wearing a tuxedo, and you and I would never have a prayer of getting into an event like that. And that's where, again, I'm so nervous that our public officials have completely lost their way. You may remember, I talked about this when Jenny Durkin, her first public statement after this COVID-19 outbreak and when things were starting to fall apart, And what her priority list was, again, this was from a couple of weeks ago with the mayor of Seattle.
We're also investing in our arts, in an arts recovery package. Because when we come out of this, we know we want our city and our region to be as vibrant as before. Even for the small things like...
Okay, that was day one. We're going to have an arts recovery package. And I've gotten some pushback from people who aren't happy that I have a problem with that. But there are a lot of blue-collar workers who are out of work, who are scared right now, and the arts is a luxury. And the arts is generally funded, and I believe in the arts. I've been on the board of a large local theater group, because it was Seattle Children's Theater. It's a fantastic organization. And my wife and I loved taking our girls there when they were little. And I was on the board for 2 years. But it is, the people who fund the arts are a lot of millionaires, a lot of people with their foundations, private foundations. And the notion that we're taking this bailout package, and that Jenny Durkin, the first thing she could talk about was the arts. And that at the federal level, we're thinking about giving $35 million to the Kennedy Center when there are men and women who are worried about paying their mortgage coming up or their rent. And it's just another example. And this is what I've been talking about ever since this bailout was first proposed, that we must remain as vigilant as ever. Because when you're talking about trillions of dollars, you're going to have politicians who are going to try to reward their pet constituencies. And right now, the laser focus needs to be the Americans who are scared and out of work. And the argument is, well, there are some in the arts community who are scared and out of work. I understand that. But again, we're talking about something that is a luxury in our society that is funded by, and I know this. I mean, I've done the auctions. I've been on the boards. You make the asks of very, very wealthy people to be your donors, your patrons. And at a time when we're trying to help the restaurant workers who don't have a gig right now, this focus from people like Jenny Durkin and Nancy Pelosi, it's absolutely disgusting. And then one other note. We're just getting word that the White House Coronavirus Task Force is going to have a press conference at 2 o'clock this afternoon. We will bring that to you live here on 97.3 Cairo FM. And that's because we have been bringing everything to you live, from the president, from the governor, from Jenny Durkin, when she has a press conference. Not all local media feels that way. The publicly funded public radio station, KUOW, they have announced that they are not going to carry the coronavirus task force press conferences anymore. The Hill is reporting this because Seattle radio station KUOW says there's due to a pattern of false or misleading information provided that cannot be fact-checked in real time, they won't carry it anymore. Hey, KUOW, do you have the same standard for Jay Inslee when he routinely has lied to the people about not raising our taxes and has stuck us with billions and billions and billions in tax increases? But it just shows when you are disgusting leftist media, and KUOW couldn't survive without the taxpayers subsidizing them, and they are disgustingly biased, and they don't have the same standard of truth for Jay Inslee, but they've decided now unilaterally that they are going to censor the president of the United States. Now, we've gotten a lot of information from the president. As I've said, We're seeing on Wall Street a tremendous response to him the last couple of days, saying we have to make sure the cure isn't worse than the disease. And that's where I think you are capable of being your own gatekeeper. And I find media, especially publicly funded, tax-funded media like KUOW, to be particularly disgusting, where they will allow the lies from people like Jay Inslee and Jenny Durkin, but they're going to be the censor of people that they don't agree with. Defund NPR and public radio now. Let's see if they can stand on their own. And that is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Oh, you are not going to want to miss this. The 90-year-old at Life Care Center in Kirkland who survived COVID-19. I can't wait to talk to Geneva Wood. And you're going to be part of it next, right after we check the news here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, if you're listening to the White House Corona Task Force briefing a couple of days ago over the weekend, Vice President Mike Pence did tell about one happy story out of a place that has been the site of a lot of sadness, Life Care Center in Kirkland. But the story the vice president shared was that of 90-year-old Geneva Wood, who did contract COVID-19, but is now recovering. And Geneva and her daughter, Cammie Knighty, they join us here on the Dory Monson Show. Ladies, thank you both very much for coming on with me this afternoon.
Thank you.
And Cammie, before I talk with your mom, tell me just a little bit about your mom's journey and what it's been like to, at a place that has been really the site of so much sadness. When did you find out that your mom was testing positive for COVID-19?
Well, she had been in the facility recovering from a stroke, ready to leave, on the 28th, and it was locked down. That Saturday was when they told us that it was locked down. Monday was when she was supposed to be discharged. And she had just been recovering. She had been there that last week recovering from pneumonia. So when she fell on that Wednesday and broke her hip, and that's when we had the Evergreen test for the virus. Yeah. And the next day she started the a temperature and was sent to Harborview for assessment. And that's where they confirmed that she did have the virus.
Yeah, well, knowing what so many families had experienced there, what was that like for you and the rest of your family when you heard that your mom was positive?
It made your heart sink because she had been fighting so hard to come back and recover from all the physical stuff she'd been through. And then to get that news, it's just kind of go, are you kidding me? Because even when they said she was running a temp, I was going, well, probably just another UTI. It can't be the virus. She's fine. So when they said, no, it was positive, you kind of go, well, crap. Just kind of you sit down and you just go, wow, this, I can't believe this is happening. This can't be happening.
I had frog powders, and then they said I had pneumonia. And then they come back and say, you got the virus.
Oh. So Geneva, when they told you that you had the virus, what goes through your heart and your mind when you hear that news?
Well, it was complete shock because they told me I had pneumonia. And I had pneumonia before. So when they said you got the virus, I couldn't believe it. Because I hadn't been out. I went to the home health care because to have therapy. I couldn't walk. I couldn't talk. I couldn't do anything. And I went through their complete program and learned to do all of that. I was considered a person of the month. I was great. And then to tell you that, well, you don't know what to think.
Because of your stroke, Geneva, and you are 90 years old, all of those things put you in the highest risk category, and yet here you are talking to me on the radio today. You are recovering. You must be a very strong woman, Geneva.
Well, that's what they say, and I do consider myself a strong woman. But I don't see any sense sitting back on my thumb and letting the world go by. I've got a lot of living to do.
I love that. So what kind of living is ahead of you, Geneva? What, when you get out of there, when you have, when you, as you continue to recover from the stroke, as you are a hero who's recovered from COVID-19, what kind of things do you want to get back to doing?
I want to do whatever I can to help others, to see that you don't give up, you just keep on fighting. And you have to have a lot of faith in God, because he's the one that sees you through all of this. I don't take any of the credit at all. My family and my God have pulled me through this.
Geneva, and you're bringing tears to my eyes. That's really beautiful.
I hope it brings tears to your heart. And that
it does.
And help others.
Well, I think you're helping a lot of people. So you say that you weren't going to give in. So what were you doing to fight against this? I mean, was it prayer? Was it some other things as far as mental attitude?
Everything. She said it was a lot of prayer.
A lot of prayer.
All around the world. So she refused any ventilation or any heroic measures. This was totally her willpower, her strength. They did try one of the new drugs, but it made her so sick she said she would rather die than go on that drug again, so they took her off of it.
Yeah.
So this is totally just this stubborn old coot fighting hard.
Geneva, did you hear the vice president talk about you last weekend?
I didn't hear it.
Have you still not heard it to this day?
I've heard pieces, but I did not hear it. Here's the special that he gave.
Well, tell you what, we have it right here, so we're going to play it for you. I want you to hear what Vice President Mike Pence had to say about you and your battle here. So here's what he said last weekend.
I did hear one story this morning, Mr. President, about a senior named Geneva Wood. She actually is at the Life Care Center in Kirkland, Washington. She is not only a grandmother, she is a great-great-grandmother, 90 years young, and she tested positive for the coronavirus on March 6th. But by all accounts, she's doing well. She wanted America to know there is hope, and her strength and her enthusiasm is truly an inspiration to the nation.
What is it like to have the Vice President of the United States, Geneva, hold you up as a symbol of hope and inspiration right now?
Well, you just hope you can live up to all the things that people have said about you that is good. Thank God they didn't tell all the bad things.
Well, now you've piqued my interest, and maybe I'll ask your daughter, Cammy, that. Tell me about how rough it was, Cammy.
Oh, I mean, you knew what you could get by with and what you better run and hide from. So, I mean, you just didn't mess with her. You didn't. That was in the day where you, if you did something wrong, you might as well kind of go hide in the barn for a while.
Okay. I gotcha.
Yeah, the parents were the parents and the children were the children. And it, nowadays, the parents are the children and,
we got to get back to some old time values, don't we, Geneva?
Amen.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
When people go back to what the world was meant to be, people just don't take life seriously. The more they can get along without the try. So, I don't know.
Well, no, I think you make a lot of sense. So when are you going to get out of there, Geneva?
I'm sitting in my home, in my living room, in my recliner, eating my eggs and drinking my coffee. They gave me a clear bill of health. I do not have the virus. I am clear of the virus. I'm just as normal as you are. Now all I have to wait is for people to expect that I'm normal.
Geneva, I loved what you just said, but I have to correct one thing. I think you are far more normal than I am.
Well, not knowing you and you not knowing me, we have to accept each other.
Oh, my. Geneva, this is one of my favorite interviews in a long, long time. You are absolutely delightful, and you are what the vice president said. You're a fighter. You're a symbol of hope. You're an inspiration, and I love that. Like you said, maybe God called on you to be all of those things for a reason here.
I'm sure he has a reason. I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, I'm ready for it.
Well, God bless you, Cammy. What a journey for your family. It sounds like you have a very tight-knit family there.
It helps. I mean, she had five kids, and so, you know, we all have to stay in line and, you know, take care of her now.
Yeah, I got it. Okay. And Geneva, how were those scrambled eggs today? Were they pretty tasty?
Yes, they're very good. I just took the last bite, and I don't want any more.
Okay.
I'm drinking
all right.
My coffee. I'm sorry.
I don't think anybody's going to force anything on you. You have earned the right to call your own shots, Geneva.
Well, I'll try to do the right thing. I really will.
Okay. Geneva, you are absolutely delightful to talk with, and I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed our conversation today.
Thank you.
All right. God bless you, Geneva.
Thank you. God bless
okay.
you.
All right. Cammy, thank you very much. Yes. But your mom's the best. That was awesome.
Yes, she is. She's quite the character.
Okay. Thank you both for coming on with me this afternoon.
All right. Thank you.
All right. That is 90-year-old Geneva Wood, who Vice President Pence talked about last weekend, and their daughter, Cammy Knighty. Oh, my gosh, I enjoyed talking with Geneva. I would love to hear what you have to say about this. You can text us at 989973, and we have lots more straight ahead as this very memorable Dory Monson show rolls on. Oh, my goodness. I'm getting such feedback from our interview we just aired with Geneva Wood. Thank you for all the comments. 206, great interview, brought a huge smile to my face. I loved this one. That was a heartwarming interview with Geneva. She truly is an inspiration. My 94-year-old mother, Imelda, is in a memory care facility. She had a cough and was quarantined, but it's not the virus. And then God bless Geneva from the 425. What a delight. Thank you for sharing her story. And another one from the 425. As a Kirkland resident, I would like to officially adopt Geneva as our hometown grandma, inspiring hope in a world of uncertainty. Yeah, I think every community would love to have Geneva as their grandma.
And
so
please,
if you tuned in late, we'll have it up on the podcast right after we get off the air today.
Really quick, okay, we have a picture of Geneva in her recliner that she spoke so highly of. So that'll be up on Minor Quest and Facebook and Twitter pretty soon. It's adorable.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, Fast 15 is coming up next.